Our Father, may the Holy Spirit be in control of what we have to say today. May they be words of life and hope and strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Talking today on the subject, have a happy new you. Philippians 3, he said, forgetting the things that are behind, I press toward the mark that is in front of me. You can never have a happy new year without having a happy new you. One little fellow said, Daddy ain't got a good week, ain't nobody gonna have a good week. When you look at yourself, what do you see? One of our relatives told me, he said, I looked at the pictures of all of my siblings when they were old and now they're dead. He said, they were ugly. He said, I looked in the mirror and I looked exactly like them. What do you think about yourself? Are you moving ahead? Man is out there playing golf, but he's hitting the sand all the time. Finally, the ants said to one another, if we're going to get anywhere, we may need to get on the ball. Can you say amen? We must make up our minds. First in my head, I'm going to make a change. In my heart, I believe I can do it. In my hands, I will do it. In my heels, I'm going to move forward. There was a big black bear that was part of a zoo. He was kind of the laughing stock because he did the same thing all the time. In a little cage, in fact, they would throw cigarettes or rocks at him to try to change his mind of what he was doing, but he would always sit down and sleep a while. Then he would eat a while, and then he would just keep going in circles all the way around in that cage. But one day they took him out of there and brought his cage over to a beautiful green grass place where he could walk around. But they were surprised. All he did was sit down, sleep, eat, and he just kept going around and around and never got out of that cage. Are you in a circle? Don't be that way. How do I have a happy new you? Number one, dig a hole of supplication. That is prayer. In Kings, it says that the valley was full of ditches. They dug ditches. And God sent water, not from above, but in those ditches, there was beautiful water, which represents our prayer life, a new fervency. Prayer is the most unused power in the earth. You can do many things after you pray, but not a lot before you pray. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of God. Prayer is the key of the day and the lock of the night. 7 days without prayer will make 1 week. So I ask you today, dig a hole, a prayer. Number two, touch a coal of inspiration, that is power. The seraphims put the power and the life on the lips of Isaiah. What is that power? It is the word of God. Remember that. There's no power like the power of the word of God. A missionary in China was imprisoned during World War II. She managed to take a Gospel of John in the prison with her, would hide it under a pillar when the prisoners were gone. She would take out that Bible and begin to read. When the prisoners were released, most of them shuffled out. But this missionary came out so chipper and happy. Someone said she must have been brainwashed. Another said, yes, she was brainwashed by the water of the Word of God. Rubinstein, famous organist, was asked, how are you so inspired all of these years? He said, because I get in the Word. And the Word of God gets into me. Mr. Myshira in Colorado had both eyes blown out in a mine. Told he was going to die, but he lived. No fingers, no arms, no sight. But he learned Braille. They had a special table made for him. He began to read with his tongue. Imagine that. He ended up with 20 volumes, 6 feet high. He read the Bible through 4 times with his tongue. Often so tender, his tongue would bleed. Yet he read the Word of God. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be saved. Practice it to be holy. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff. And God is able to give you strength through the Word of God. Number three, ring a toll of crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. Get your past off of your back. Die to your failures. Everybody has them. Say goodbye to your regrets. Die to your fears. Die to your frustrations. Die to your fake friends. Die to your financial crises. Die to your family feuds. Everybody has family feuds, you know. When my dad died, my Uncle Peter would call my mother and try to encourage her. And one day she said, "Peter, you haven't been calling me lately." And he said, "You'd be surprised what I've been calling you." Number four, take a role of participation. That is performance. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. You're either a splitter, a sitter, a quitter, a go-getter, or a bitter. Don't back out on your duties. When Joseph got to jail, he didn't shut down the shop. He became the head of the jail. I would ask you to become a participant in somebody's life. One man walked several blocks to church. He was deaf. Somebody said, "Why do you walk to church? You're deaf." And he said, "I go there because I'm just leading other people to church." In the news, there was a St. Bernard dog finally died because he could find no one else to help. Number five, fill a bowl with compassion. On some, having compassion, making the difference. Compassion is something you can't imitate. It's something that must be born inside of you. And when you do something good for somebody, something good is coming back to you. Hard to put perfume on somebody else without getting it somewhat on yourself. Number six, reach a goal of determination. That's perseverance. As Elisha said to Elijah, "As the Lord lives, I will not leave you." You know, an oak tree is just a nut that kept its ground. Do you know that a big shot's just a little shot that keeps shooting? I ask, what you want to do? Where do you want to go? What do you want to be? Have a determination. Get on the road and stay there. What is determination? William Wallace, who led the war against opposing forces, Sir Winston Churchill defining the Nazis as much of Europe was collapsing, Gandhi that led the 20-mile march to the sea, Mary Kay that went off to create a world-class organization, Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms said, "I will not stop." Martin Luther King standing before the Lincoln Memorial with a dream. God is able to help you if you get determined enough. In Daniel, he's able to deliver. In Matthew, he's able to raise children from stones. In Romans, he's able to fulfill things. In Corinthians, he's able to change our body. In Ephesians, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And in Jude, he's able to do keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence. Dig a hole, touch a coal, ring a toll, take a roll, fill a bowl, reach a goal. But most importantly, win a soul by introduction. John 1:41, and he first found his own brother Simon, said, "We have found the Messiah." Evangelism is God sobbing over the world. Jesus weeping over a doomed city. Paul crying for his kinsmen. Moses pleading for Israel. You know, in a fishing area, it seemed there was only one man that was catching fish. His name was Sam. And Jake asked Sam, he said, "Why do you catch fish and nobody else does?" Well, he said, "Come with me at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and I'll show you." And they got there and he took a piece of dynamite, set it on fire and threw it in the water, and the fish jumped out everywhere. And then Sam put a stick of dynamite on Jake's lap and said, "What's your choice? Are you just going to sit there while I light this dynamite? Or you're going to go out fishing?" My question to you is, what about winning souls? Souls are so important. Made in the image of God, the soul will never die. When the horror heroes and seas have found their graves and the stars have dwindled like dying candles, the soul will still be young. The majestic mountains are temporal. Grand old seas have embraced the chilling waters, and yet they will dry up. The hills, the surging seas, the blazing sun, the dazzling Milky Way, the billion stars may pass, but the soul will still be alive. The soul is so important. Let me say this. It's not when or where or who. We think there's just a certain pattern you have to follow or you can't win a soul. And I thought of a lot of things, and I want you to listen. One of our crusades, a man told me a few months ago, he said, I gave my life to Christ. It was never registered. I never filled out a card, but in my seat that day, I gave my life to Christ, and I've been serving him ever since. Bobby Shuler of the Hour of Power program said, as a young man, he sat in church. In his heart, he said, I'm going to serve God. He said, I never signed anything, but now he's a pastor. Charles Finney was convicted and converted in a forest. Billy Sunday was saved, Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. Zacchaeus met Jesus at a tree. The woman of Samaria met Jesus at a well. The dying thief met Jesus on his cross. Apostle Paul met Jesus on a road. The Philippian jailer got saved at the jail. Pastor Billy received a call one time at New Year's Eve. A man had shot himself and he was dying. Pastor Billy went up to the hospital, prayed for the man. If you can hear me, squeeze my hand. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus. Jim Foster, by the way, it's his birthday this week. Give him a good hand. God bless him. He tells about going to a rest home to pray for a lady, and she accepted Christ. And by the time he got done, five other people in that rest home had given their life to the Lord. I remember going up an elevator to see my wife for one of the last times at Providence. As I was in the elevator, there was a man in a wheelchair. And I said, sir, where are you going? He said, I'm going up same floor I was going to. He said, my dad's hospital room, he's dying. I said, can I go pray with him? I went in and prayed with that man, and he sobbed and gave his life to the Lord. And seven people in that family, hand by hand, all prayed the sinner's prayer to give their life to the Lord Jesus. I've often told this, but I want to say it again. The providential plan of God, when John McGraw, by the way, John and Sue and Larry and Charlene down there in Arizona, hello there. John McGraw said, I want you to go visit my neighbor. He's not saved. And I went in and found the room and walked in, and I took the man by the hand and I said, would you like to give your life to Jesus? He sobbed and cried and said, oh, I would love to do that. And he did, but that wasn't the end of the story. The nurse said, that was a fine prayer, Pastor, but the man that you came to see moved into a different room. And I went to go see the other man. I hit two birds with one stone. How many know God has a providential plan? Do you know that a lady in our church, Karen Hall, won a lady to the Lord at Burger King? Patty Myers, what a lady. Taught Sunday school for 60 years. She said, Johnny, the thing that thrilled me is I'd go into a store and some adult now would come to me and say, you taught me in Sunday school and I gave my life to the Lord. You know the story of Sherry Schaefer, how God imprinted in her mind, even though she was suicidal, imprinted in her mind the image of this church. When she came by, she knew this was the one to come to. She gave her life to the Lord Jesus. A friend of ours in Redding, California, had nothing to do with church. But on his way in his pickup, He said the Holy Spirit entered into that pickup, and I pulled at the side of the road, and there was poured into my heart the knowledge that Jesus is God's Son. I accepted him. Kind of a humorous story. I know of a man that got saved, very interestingly. He was being chased by a bull across the field. And he ran and ran and got straddled on an electric fence, and that's not comfortable. And he cried out, "Oh God, spare my life." God spared his life, and he said, "I got saved on that fence." It doesn't have to be a certain pattern. Now, some of you that are watching here today, this may be your time. A lady in the Midwest was watching us online. She picked up our program, and it was on her phone. She took it to the hospital and played that to her husband in the hospital. That day, he gave his life to Christ, and 2 weeks later, he was gone. The gospel works. You need to be a witness. You are the light, and you are the salt. Let your light shine and pass the salt. God is going to give you opportunities somewhere. How long has it been since you invited somebody to church? How long has it been since you won a soul to the Lord? The thing that will lighten your life and make a new person out of you, you'll start winning somebody to the Lord. Somebody's out there waiting for you. Every day you're a light somewhere. Every day somebody's waiting for hope, especially in a frustrated world that we're living in. They're looking for something. Something they don't have, something they need. Be a witness. Win a soul. If you're standing by a billionaire and you've won a soul and he hasn't, you're richer than he is, because every soul is worth more than all the world. And I'm talking to you today that are watching, you that are listening, different parts of the country. This may be your chance. Maybe this is your divine appointment, as I'm talking to your soul right now, to tell you that you can be saved right where you are, in the hospital, in the jail, in your living room, in your bedroom, wherever you are. All he asks you to do is say, "Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior, to live for you and to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." And if you prayed that prayer, Christ has come into your life, because Jesus paid a supreme price on that cross of Calvary, where he bled and gave his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. May God bless you. May God bless our congregation. May God bless you around the country. May God bless your family. And may God bless the United States of America. Our Father, I pray that you'll bless all of those that have been listening today. They will receive Jesus into their heart. God bless this family. God bless this church. God bless America. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. While we sing "On a Hill Far Away Stood an Old Rugged Cross," our ushers are going to come to serve the communion. But while our heads are bowed, how many would say, "Pastor Johnny,